seem. More than a story, it'll set you free. Are you tired of the running? Are you tired of the shame? Baby born in a manger, gonna break every chain. Angels fill up the heavens with the sound of his name. Gloria to the promised one, to the only Son. Gloria, now the present King changes everything. Oh, 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 oh. Angels we have heard on high, pierce the silent midnight sky. Throne to a manger, trading glory for shame. From a king to a stranger with the love to proclaim. Angels fill up the heavens with the sound of his name. Gloria to the promised one, to the only Son. Gloria, now the peasant king changes everything. Oh, 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 oh. Come adore on bended knee, your burdens at his feet, of Christ the Lord, the newborn King. Oh, you came, come adore on bended knee, lay your burdens at his feet, of Christ the Lord, the newborn King.
Okay, all right, okay, class. Now, this is going to be the last class before semester finals. And with Christmas just around the corner, I thought we'd take a little bit of time to talk about the nativity story. Religious majors, I'm sure you're all familiar with the nativity story, the beauty and wonder of what occurred that night in a stable in Bethlehem. But I want to back it up just a few years. You see, King Herod the Great was in power and had just won a battle over the Hasmoneans and proposed to build a city in the location of that victory. Now, King Herod was very powerful, and at the time, he was also the most wealthy individual on the face of the planet. He was so powerful that if he wanted to have his people build by hand a mountain in his honor, he could have that done. And he did so. You see, the hill on the site where that battle had been won was transformed into a mountain named Herodium, in honor of the great King Herod. Now, Herodium was an architectural wonder. It was a fortress, also a palace with four towers that were seven stories tall. It had a bathhouse, extensive banquet hall, and that was just the upper half of the mountain. Now, the lower half of the mountain consisted of a small city. It was over 40 acres worth of buildings. It had lavish gardens, a pool, and an advanced aqueduct system that supplied a substantial amount of water to a city in the middle of the desert. Now, you can only imagine the kind of power Herod had to have to be able to have his people build such an extravagant city and mountain by hand. Now, we're going to go ahead and fast forward a few years. Mary and Joseph, they're on their way to Bethlehem. There's a census taking place. They need to get back there in order to be counted. Now, keep in mind, Mary's 9 months pregnant, due to give birth at any moment. They arrive at Bethlehem, and there's no room for them. They end up in a stable where Mary would go on to give birth to baby Jesus, the King of Kings. Now, are you familiar with where Bethlehem's located? Take a look at this picture. And if you notice, in the shadow there of Herodium, just 3 miles away was Bethlehem. What a beautiful symbol of hope that in the shadow of wealth and power came a king as a peasant in the most humble form, in a stable nonetheless. These two kings could not possibly be any more different. But get used to different, because this is what this King of Kings was planning to do. Hope was finally here.
But we were found when hope came Out of the manger, the peasant king brings us hope. But there will be no more gloom for her who was in anguish. In earlier times, he treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali with contempt. But later on, he shall make it glorious by way of the sea on the other side of Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. You shall multiply the nation. You shall increase their gladness. They will be glad in your presence, as with the gladness of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For a child is born to us, a son who will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Would you bow your head in prayer with me? Heavenly Father, we are your children. We come before you today in need of hope. There are times when we feel helpless. There are times when we feel weak. We pray for hope. We need hope for a better future. We need hope for a better life. We need hope for love and kindness. Some say that the sky is at its darkness just before the light. I pray this is true, for all seems so dark right now. We need your light, Lord, in every way. We pray to be filled with your light from head to toe, to bask in your glory, to know all that is right in the world as you have planned and as you want it to be. Help us to walk in your light and live our lives in faith and glory. In the name of your precious Son, Jesus Christ, amen.
Oh Lord, in this Christmas season, I'm feeling unsettled. I look at what the world has been through this last year and a half and wonder when things might be as they once were. If I'm being honest, Lord, I'm feeling weary. I don't exactly feel peace in this season. Where are you in these days? I look around at our broken world and I struggle to see you working. But Lord, help me to trust you. Help me to see that you are working even when I cannot see it. Lord, in a world full of turmoil, help me to have peace.
I've got to get the presents wrapped, clean the house. The in-laws are coming tomorrow. I don't even have all the groceries I need. Then there's a shortage of things. I'm not even sure everything I ordered on Amazon is here yet. Oh yeah, throw in the 10-day quarantine. I don't know how I'm supposed to get everything ready this Christmas. This could be a disaster. You know, when I picture Christmas, I always think of those Hallmark movies where time stands still, the decorations are picture perfect and flawless, and everyone has the best Christmas. That's really what I would love to see. But instead, I'm overwhelmed with everything that has to be done for Christmas on top of my own struggles. Even though Christmas is supposed to be peaceful, I can't seem to find peace amidst the chaos.
Man, this semester didn't go as planned at all. I can't wait another moment to see those grades show up in my transcript. And I really hope I pass that chemistry final. And if I didn't, I'll be behind by a whole semester. Then I won't be able to apply for any jobs, won't be able to pay off my student loans any sooner. And if I couldn't pass this class, how am I supposed to pass my classes next semester? Maybe I picked the wrong major. Maybe I'm not enough. Maybe I should have gone to a different college. It's so busy this season, and you throw finals into the mix, and I just don't know that I'll ever feel peace this December.
out in the manger, the peasant king brings us peace. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers come upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. A war arise against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident. One thing I have asked from the Lord, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will conceal me in his tabernacle, in the secret place of his tent. He will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock. And now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and be gracious to me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I shall seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not abandon me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a level path because of my foes. Do not deliver me to the desire of my adversaries, for false witness has risen against me, and such as breath out of violence. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Would you bow your head in prayer with me? Heavenly Father, we are in need of your peace to soothe our hearts and spirits right now. When we find ourselves awake in the middle of the night, our pressing needs and worries can feel overwhelming to us. Remind us to return to you in prayer, that when we express our pain, our sorrow, our fear, our anger, and all of the burdens of life to you, you hear our prayers. We need to be reminded of your constant love, healing, grace, and peace. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us demonstrate charity. Where there is injury, release us to forgive. Where there is error, show us truth. Where there is doubt, perfect our faith. Where there is despair, lead us to hope. Where there is darkness, let us see your light. Where there is sadness, teach us to bring joy. Lord, may we always be instruments of your peace. Amen.
When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Matthew 2:10-11.
We had been waiting and watching and praying for the newborn king. We had read the prophecies of old that said a king would be born and that we would have a role to play. So we set out. We looked for a star, not just any star, but a specific star, a star that would indicate something wonderful had happened, a star that brought hope and peace and joy all at the same time.
And can you imagine the joy? A joy like no other joy we've ever experienced before. This was it. This was centuries-old prophecy being fulfilled right before our eyes that the Messiah was born. And we got to be a part of it. Well, you can imagine how quickly we prepared to go find this Messiah. We knew it would take a long time to get there as we were a few hundred miles away.
Oh, what joy for the journey along the way. We were on a mission to find the promised king. How great our joy we had to share the great news with King Herod before we left to find the Messiah. Nothing like this ever happened before. And to think, the prophecy was given such a long time ago. Such a long time ago. But imagine for the prophecy to be fulfilled right before our eyes. What a joy it was for us to be a part of this journey through our life and be able to spend time with the Messiah.
Over mountains and valleys it led them each night, a star of most radiant light. Three wise men rejoice as they journeyed afar to behold such a beautiful star. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with great joy. When they saw the star, they rejoiced. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with great joy. They rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Others saw the star, but they followed it not. To them it would come and wise men kept trusting with all of their hearts that the star would find the baby at last. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with great joy. When they saw the star, they rejoiced. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with great joy. They rejoiced with exceeding great joy. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with great joy. When they saw the star, they rejoiced. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with great joy. They rejoiced with exceeding great joy. They rejoiced with exceeding great joy. They rejoiced with exceeding great joy.
And out in the manger, the peasant king brings us joy. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved for you in heaven, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this, you greatly rejoice, even though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. Would you bow your head in prayer with me? Heavenly Father, the word overwhelmed seems to be flooded too much of something. Usually being overwhelmed is seen as something negative. Usually, but not always. Because, Father, how wonderful it is to be overwhelmed by you. Every day you bless us in so many little ways, too many to count. Then, when those big blessings come along, we are completely overwhelmed. You bless us beyond anything we could ever ask or imagine, with unconditional love, unearned grace, endless mercy, and the promise of heaven with you. We are humbled by the height, width, and depth of your love and care for us. What an amazing gift. We are overwhelmed by the joy you have given us. We give thanks in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
All right, kids, come and join me for our story today. Awesome. I'm going to need help from a few of you, and our story today is about a king. Would anybody like to be the king? Perfect. All right, there you go. And would anybody like to be the guard? Perfect. Okay, I'll need help from everybody else in just a minute, but I think we're ready to start our story. There once was a king who loved and cared for the people in his kingdom very much. King, would you give us your best king pose? Wonderful. The king dedicated his life to serving the people who lived in his kingdom. He was what you would call a servant king. And while he dedicated his life to serving the people in his kingdom, he really wanted to know what the people in his kingdom were going through. You see, he had only known what it was like to grow up in royalty. He had never had to do the things that the people in the land would do, like work in the fields as a farmer, chop wood to make furniture or for firewood, or even cooking and baking. The king really wanted to see what it would be like to be an everyday person because he never knew what it was like. So, one day he got an idea. King, can you look like you're deep in thought thinking about something? Good. Now say, I've got an idea. Great. Here was the king's idea. Okay. Do you know what a peasant is?
A peasant is a worker, sort of like your average person.
That's exactly right. So he thought it might be a good idea for him to lay down his crown for a while and become a peasant. Now, a peasant is a regular common person who labored or worked. Often they're farmers. So the king decided he was going to become a peasant, not just for a day or two, not for a week, not for a month, but for several years. He knew he wouldn't understand everything about being a peasant in a short amount of time. So he gathered his guard. And now you can say this.
Today's the last day that you'll see me for many years.
What? What do you mean? Where are you going?
I need to be with my people and see how they live. I am going to become a peasant.
The king's guard was so confused. Why would the king do such a thing when he had all he wanted and he needed at the castle? The king would always be king, so why would he care to be with the other people or care to see how others lived? The guards couldn't understand it, but the king was adamant that he had to do this. So the king laid down his crown, grabbed his bag, and he headed out. I'm going to need 2 more volunteers now. Perfect. You can be the farmer, and I'll need a carpenter. Perfect. Okay. Now, you guys go to your spots and prepare for the peasant king to arrive. So, the peasant king made his way into the first town, and he found a farmer. The farmer showed him how to be a farmer, when to plant the seed, how to take care of it, and when to harvest. The peasant king learned a lot about the work the farmers did and the struggles that they faced each day. Not just in the fields, but the struggles that they faced in their town and with their families and friends as well. He became like a farmer. As time passed, he picked up his bag and he traveled and he met with the carpenter. He met a carpenter who showed him how to cut wood for furniture, how to sand it, and how to put it all together for another family to enjoy. He learned a lot about patience and hard work, but also about how the carpenter lived and what difficulties they faced. Thanks, kids. You did a great job acting that out. You can go step right back over there. Got it. Perfect. Do you know what the king was really showing us by becoming a peasant? He was showing us how much he loved his people. This story reminds me so much about Christmas.
Christmas, I didn't hear anything about Christmas.
That's right, you didn't, but it's so similar. God did something similar as in the story that we just heard about the king. He came as a baby, baby Jesus, and was born in one of the lowliest places you could be at the time. A stable filled with animals in Bethlehem. He was born as a peasant. Jesus lived for 33 years on the earth as a peasant and was tempted, suffered, and even died to show his love for his people. Not only did the peasant king come to be with us, he came to save us. He didn't have to do any of that. And yet, because God loved us so much, he came to earth to be with us. This is why we celebrate Christmas. God's love came down from heaven for all of us.
Night came the promised child.
And out of the manger, the peasant king brings us love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but the world might be saved through him. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this, we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. We have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment. And the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he loved us first. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away." Would you bow your head in prayer with me? Heavenly Father, we come into your presence so aware of our human frailty, overwhelmed by your love for us. We thank you that there is no human experience that we might walk through where your love cannot reach us. If we climb the highest mountain, you are there. And yet, if we find ourselves in the darkest valley of our lives, you are there. Teach us today to love you more. Help us to rest in that love that asks nothing more than the simple, trusting heart of a child. But Father, you desire all your children to love others as Christ loved us. But our love is poor and weak and is far removed for all that you desire of us. We pray that you fill us with the love of Christ, that we may love others in the same way that Christ loved us, so that as your love pours into our souls, we may be used as a conduit for Christ's love to stream out to others with whom we have come into contact. Help us demonstrate your love, not only to those that are lovable, but also to those who lash out at us through pain or anger, disappointment or loss. May the love of Jesus be manifested in us, and may the love of Jesus be distributed by grace through faith to all with whom we come into contact with. Thank you for your incomprehensible love towards us, and thank you for sending your only begotten Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to suffer on the cross for our sake, so that our sins could be forgiven and that we may live with you forever in heaven. Thank you for loving us beyond our knowledge and understanding. For the gift of your Son, we give thanks. In his mighty and precious and loving name, Jesus Christ, amen.
And so this morning we've seen the beauty of why our King came as a peasant. Jesus' birth as a peasant brought us hope, peace, joy, and ultimately love. And he certainly didn't come to earth as he deserved, but in his humble birth as a peasant, we can see just how much he loves us all, each and every one of us. Would you stand with us as we sing together, Come Peasant King?
As we
brings hope for the future, peace for the moment, joy for our journey, and love for us all. Hope for the future, peace for the moment, joy for our journey, and love for us all. Love for us all. Come, peasant king, come and dwell among us. Humbly you came to this earth to save us all.
Church, can we give a round of applause for all the children and actors today? And the worship team did an incredible job, didn't they? But we need to give one more round of applause. That song you just sang was an original score by Ryan Drenth, and he put this program together. So can we thank him this morning for all of his work? In a minute, I'm going to give a blessing, but before I do, I want to make two quick announcements. In the baskets up front at the altar are ornaments. Say, come, peasant king. We started this tradition last year that every year we do a series in Advent and we make these ornaments for you to take. There is one for every single person here. Take them. They're intended to put on your tree. As your children grow and go off to college, that they'll have a tree with some decorations. And over time, there'll be many wonderful memories that you can talk about as you reflect on these ornaments. They'll be available at the end of service. You can just come up and grab one. I encourage you all to come out on Christmas Eve at 10 p.m., we're going to have a very beautiful service to reflect on the birth of our Savior. I hope to see you all there. Church, if you would like to receive a blessing this morning, would you simply hold out your hands like this? South Lake, you saw the very character of God this morning, not just in what we acted out and sang, the hope, peace, love, and joy, that was there. But there was hard work that went into this. There was children who laughed, people who cried. It's a beautiful expression of who our Savior is. Church, take that with you. Spend time with your family and friends this holiday. Hug them a little bit extra. Before you leave, though, tell somebody how much you love them. God bless you, and Merry Christmas to each and every one of you.